Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth. I'm Jeff Young. A powerful congressional committee is at work on a piece of legislation that could profoundly change how we power our country. California Democrat Henry Waxman, who chairs the House Energy and Commerce Committee, is the bill's lead author. Waxman says it would cut greenhouse gases, boost renewable power, and create jobs.
Our economic future and clean energy are inextricably intertwined. The economy that will grow the fastest in this century will be the one that makes the greatest investments in new energy technologies.
The bill's centerpiece is a cap-and-trade program, limiting the amount of carbon dioxide that can be emitted into the atmosphere, while setting up a system to trade emissions permits. Now, those permits will be very valuable. But as it stands, Waxman's bill says nothing about how they should be allocated, whether given away or auctioned. Billions, perhaps trillions of dollars could rest on such technical differences. We've asked Peter Barnes for some help in understanding what's at stake here. Barnes is an entrepreneur and author who's written extensively on climate change policy. Peter, what do we know about how industry will get these permits?
The general understanding is that the bill is going to give about half of the pollution permits for free to utilities and other industries. And this is a big deal because we're talking about trillions of dollars ultimately that is being allocated to private companies.
Now, you said trillions, not billions.
That is correct. Over time, not on a one-year basis, but over time, the amount of money involved with these pollution permits is in the trillions of dollars. So this is a very big economic question involving who's going to pay and who's going to benefit. But there is more than one way to do a cap and trade system. Broadly speaking, you can have a cap and giveaway system where the permits or some percentage of them are given away free to polluting corporations. That's one model. Another model is cap and dividend, where the permits are auctioned and the money, the value of the permits, is returned to the people to protect families from the rising energy prices, which are going to result from capping carbon emissions.
Now, clearly, you prefer that we have 100% auction. And indeed, that's what President Obama was talking about early on. He even sent his budget man, Peter Orszag, up to the Hill to talk about the importance of 100% auction. Why do you think we're not hearing more from the White House now about the importance of 100% auction?
Well, I can't really say. I think the White House is letting Congress do its thing. Unfortunately, the power of the utilities and other industries is very great, and it's going to take some courageous members of Congress who can stand up to those lobbies and act on behalf of middle-class families. Because if the utilities do have to pay more for coal, which they would, they will simply pass on their higher costs to the customer, and the customer will be ultimately the one who pays.
However, I mean, can't the utilities return some of this money to their ratepayers in, I don't know, the form of rebates or any other way?
They could, and that's better than not returning it. But bear in mind that if they do give rebates, it's going to be in proportion to energy use, and that's not the right way to send a price signal.
You're not really giving them a real strong incentive to conserve energy.
That's correct. If you give the money back on a per capita basis, so it's not tied to your energy use, then people who use more energy, people who have big homes and lights and drive SUVs and so forth, are going to be paying more than people who use a little energy. And that's the way it should be.
You know, though, I mean, looking at the really tough political hardball game that they have to play if they want to get any kind of limit on greenhouse gas emissions passed, isn't giving away some emissions just, you know, the price that we're going to have to pay?
Well, it may be. But I think a case could be made that giving money back to the American people to offset the higher energy prices we're all going to face is actually politically a better strategy than giving it to the large polluting corporation. If you do it this way, you're building a broad popular constituency that will support the steadily declining cap on carbon and the corresponding increase in energy prices. You need that broad constituency because a carbon cap isn't going to work overnight. This is a thing that's got to last and work for 40 years. And if it doesn't have popular support, we're going to hear cries of drill, baby, drill, and let's get back to the good old days of cheap energy. We don't want that to happen.
If this bill proceeds along these lines, where we have up to 50%, half of the credits given away in the early years, what do you think that's going to mean? Do you think it's going to be effective policy, not just in terms of who does or doesn't pay money, but is it going to be effective policy in terms of bringing emissions down?
Well, we will, I hope, see some emission reductions. But the point here is that from an environmental standpoint, we actually want to have a price signal. Yes, energy is going to cost more, but the way to protect consumers is not to eliminate the price signals. The way to protect consumers is to give them money back after they have faced the price signal. It's the price signal that we need to get everybody to conserve, to innovate, to invest in new clean technologies. And the more we avoid giving this price signal, the longer it's going to take to actually reduce emissions.
Peter Barnes is a senior fellow at the Tamales Bay Institute and author of the new book, Capitalism 3.0, A Guide to Reclaiming the Commons.